Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. Today we're going to begin to share with you on the subject of God's plan of redemption. We're going to be talking about the Feast of the Lord, the ministry of Jesus leading up to the cross, the chronology of the last week of Jesus Christ, understanding what really happened from the cross to the throne and in His resurrection, the truth about Easter, and the present ministry of Jesus Christ. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When it speaks of the earth without form and void, that means it was nothing, it was empty, it was a vacuum, it was not formed yet. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Deep refers to the waters. When it says the Spirit of God was moving, that means brooding or fluttering over to bring something into being. Now, how does God bring things into being? Through His Word. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The word for word is rhema, meaning spoken word of God. God spoke forth His word. The worlds were framed and brought into being because the things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. Otherwise, things came from the Spirit first and then were manifest in the natural realm. Now, how did God bring things into being? We see this confirmed further in Psalms 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, we see God speaking forth words. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Light came into being. In verse 6, God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Remember, the Spirit of God was brooding over the waters. And the word firmament here in verse 6 means an expanse. In other words, He put an expansion in the waters, and He divided the waters. Verse 7 says He made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. In other words, these waters were split so that there were waters above and there were waters below. In verse 8, He called the firmament, or the expanse, heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Then in verse 9, He said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. The waters that were underneath the expanse, which was called heaven, were gathered together, and He spoke, "And let the dry land appear," and the earth came into being. So the dry land was called earth, the gathering together of the waters was called the seas. And then in verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." The plural pronouns us and our in verse 26 refer to the Godhead, and the word God in Genesis 1:1 is Elohim, which is the plural form of God, referring to the plurality of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." So man is made in the image and the likeness of God, and he was given authority in the earth. Now, how did He make man? In Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And in verse 8, He planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And in Genesis 2:9, He said, "Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Well, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Keep it means to guard it. Man was in charge, he was in authority, and he was to guard the Garden of Eden. In verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Then in verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. So now God had made man and woman. And he blessed them and told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish or fill the earth and subdue it. Now why was the earth created? In Isaiah 45, verse 18, it says, "For thus saith the Lord that createth the heavens, God himself, that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited." It was to be inhabited by man. And why was man created in God's image? In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 14 and 15, where Paul was praying, he says, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." God wanted to have a family. That's why we're made in the image of God. Now the earth still belongs to the Lord. In Psalms 24, verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." The heavens also belong to the Lord. Psalms 115, verse 16, "Even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men." So man now is in authority in the earth. He has dominion, delegated authority under God over the earth. Now Isaiah 14, verse 12, relates something that happened in heaven. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." That is speaking of Lucifer, whose name means light bringer. He was a high-ranking angel, a created being, not in the image of God, as angels are created in a different class. Angels are God's messengers that carry out his service. They are spirits, Psalms 104, verse 4, where it says, "Who maketh his angels spirits." These angels also go back and forth from heaven to earth. We see this in Genesis chapter 28, in verse 12, where Jacob dreamed a dream, and he saw a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now in Psalms chapter 8 and verse 4 to 6, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." Now in verse 5, where it says, "Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels," that is a mistake in the King James Version. The word angels in the Hebrew is the word Elohim, which means God. It literally says, "For thou hast made him a little lower than God," because man is in the classification of God, and he is not under angels. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Here the word angels is angels. This refers to the fact that Jesus was made sin on the cross in order to suffer death and made a little lower than the angels. In fact, that the fallen angel Satan and his evil spirits could take him down to hell in order to bear away the sins and iniquities of mankind and accomplish the redemption. Remember that he was made sin with our sins. He did not sin himself. So it was the grace of God to taste death for every man to accomplish the redemption. Now these angels we're speaking of, when Lucifer fell, his name was changed to Satan, which means adversary. In Jude verse 6 it says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." This tells you that there are angels which followed Lucifer in his fall. They left their own habitation, and now they have been reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Satan and his evil angels are cast down to hell, which is in the lower parts of the earth. So the scene is that man now is on earth, he has authority, the devil has been cast out of heaven, and now we come to the temptation of man. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the trees which be in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Here we see that man was responsible to keep the garden, to guard it, and he was in dominion. And here the serpent, who is Satan, comes to the woman to deceive her. He brought doubt to her. She did not have the word of God straight in her, because it's never recorded that you could not touch the fruit. The Bible just says, don't eat of the fruit. Satan contradicts the word, saying, you shall not die. He appeals to their senses, that their eyes would be open, and also that they would gain wisdom, knowing good and evil. The woman yielded to the temptation based on the senses. She saw that it was good for food, pleasant, or desirous to the eyes. To make one wise, she took of the fruit, ate, and gave to her husband, who was with her. He knew what was going on. The man was with the woman. He was supposed to guard the garden from the intruders and conquer them and take dominion over the intruders, as he had authority in the earth. But man was disobedient. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. That shows you the woman was deceived, but Adam was not. He knew exactly what was happening. And when he sinned, he subordinated himself to Satan, giving Satan dominion over the earth. And man died immediately, as God said in Genesis 2:17. What kind of a death did he experience? Spiritual death, which is separation from God, because physical death followed at the age of 930, as quoted in Genesis 5, verse 5. You must understand that he died spiritually, and spiritual death means separation from God. At that point, man's eyes were opened to his nakedness, a lack of righteousness. He hid himself from God, and he was afraid. Adam put the blame on the woman, and the woman blamed the serpent. The result was that everybody was cursed. But in Genesis 3:15, God made a statement which is very important. Speaking to Satan, he said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This is an important statement, because he put enmity or hatred between Satan and the woman, and between his seed, which were all men and women that would be born from then on, and her seed, which is prophesying of the seed of the woman, which would refer to the virgin birth of Christ coming through the woman. It, which is referring to Jesus, shall bruise thy head, while thou, Satan, shall bruise his heel. Satan bruising his heel speaks of the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus bruising his head is an oriental term meaning to break the lordship of a ruler. Thus God's articles of redemption were established, that there was going to be one coming, the Messiah, through the virgin birth through a woman, who was going to break the lordship of Satan's rule over mankind and accomplish the redemption. What was man's state? Romans 5:12 says that death passed to all men through one man's sin. And the law of creation says that everything produces after its own kind. Man was now spiritually dead, and he would produce spiritually dead children who would be separated from God. So Satan became the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2, the prince of this world, John 14:30, and in authority over the earth. So the scene after the fall is Satan now is the spiritual father of man. Man is spiritually dead, separated from God. God's on the outside looking in with no legal right to operate in the earth anymore. The earth is cursed and doomed to be burned up. But as we said, God had a plan of redemption to redeem man from the lordship of Satan, and redemption is a accomplished through the payment of a price. Someone had to pay the price with their life for the sins of mankind. The same one had to conquer Satan and recapture the authority over man, the earth, the heavens, and get back the keys of hell and death, and to restore man to original condition before the fall and bring eternal life and immortality to the human race. That's exactly what Jesus comes to do through his redemptive work. I want to invite you to our church in Phoenix. Services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., Wednesday at 7. For more information, call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.